Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my rattlesnake, real ass dude, ultimate minority, Joan Jett of comedy. I got a lot of names.
International superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body.
He just broke the wall.
I know not everybody has got a body like me. But I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play, cause I play them too. Oh, but I need some time off from that emotion. Time to pick my heart up off the floor.
Come on, Zachy, baby. It's a new year.
Well, it takes a song, man, baby.
No, I'm not going to do it.
I'm showing you that door. Run, gonna have faith. I'm showing you that door. Run, gonna have faith. Gonna have faith. Gonna have faith. Gonna have faith.
Does Zach just hate this song?
He hates when I mosh, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I guess he, apparently a new thing is Zach hates when I mosh. Since when?
So you let him punch the guy who just had brain surgery and said?
Yes.
I did it to Shannon earlier today. I moshed with her.
Oh, the guys are dating?
He touched my boob.
She's like, you just touched my boob. And I'm like, shut up, idiot.
Is that why you left? Because you were going to get punched?
No, he was going to grab my boob.
Shut up, Shannon. First, Shannon, have you never crowd surfed?
No. I've never gone to, like, a crazy concert. The craziest concert I've gone to is Skid Row.
That's a crazy concert right there. I don't mind that concert. Okay. I'm jealous. I've never seen Skid Row live. I remember in the 90s, we would go to concerts like metal concerts, System of a Down, Incubus, whatever it might be. But this was a time when, this was before this, like, Me Too era.
Yeah.
So you could finger teenage girls as they crowd surfed by you. Nobody cared.
Just say it was moshing.
Nobody cared. No, it's crowd surfing.
Yeah.
They roll around and you grab their
No other and... part of a woman has ever been elevated at a rock show.
Yeah.
You literally just pass them like a six-pack.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they didn't mind getting fingered by strangers at all.
Not at all. I mean, look, it was a better time. I mean, look, you know, I'm on a... You got to take the good with the bad, but that was a good free time in life when you could just, you know, the Woodstock 99 era...
Just guys just go to concerts to finger girls, you know, hoping someone crowd surfs.
Were out there. I mean, just Woodstock 92. It was just women being fucking banged, you know, amongst like the worst. This is the worst era of people. Imagine being a woman in that crowd.
Andrew's fantasizing
right now. If you wanted
right
to be
now.
Respectful, you fucked a chick in a porta potty.
Yeah, or a tent.
Yeah.
Have your friends sent in a circle around you to create some sort of
make
blockage.
Sure no one else came in.
Yeah. Those were good times, though. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. It is the first show of the year. Wow. First show of 2019. Big fucking show planned. International superstar Zach D'Amico's here.
Hello.
What up, kid?
How you doing, man?
How you feeling, baby boy?
Feeling good.
First show of the year. Shannon, also, we've been getting complaints about the audio. They've been saying that there's been inconsistencies with the volume. So I don't know if that's a you thing. I don't know if that's a me thing, but we got to make sure that we're more on point. 2019, we're going to be more on point with our volume issues for anyone listening. Okay.
New Year's resolution.
No. My New Year's resolution was to not be such a fat fuck anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to try to put one foot in front of the other on all projects.
Yeah.
That was my New Year's resolution. But then again, I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions. What type of fucking bitch made nigga is making a New Year's resolution? Andrew Casitano does not do that.
Fuck yeah. No, I don't.
Of course not. Come on, baby. You don't need it to be January 1st to resolve some shit. You say, you know what? It's fucking October 17th.
Dude, resolve your life.
Resolve your life, exactly.
It's like, you're going to make a big deal because it's 2019? Get with it.
Dude, it doesn't got to be a fucking, it doesn't got to be the first year. There's something about that psychological thing where you go, oh, it's the beginning of something. It's like nobody starts a diet on a Wednesday. You start it on a Monday.
Yeah.
You know? It's got to be the beginning, but that's stupid. That's all in your own fucking head.
I'm going to get good grades this new school year.
Yeah, this is silly. That's a silly thought. You can be the new you at any given moment. Maybe not you, because part of your brain has been taken from your head.
Yes, so it'll be more difficult for
Matt me. Maron is actually having a difficult time, just really, you know, not drooling under the table right now.
More difficult than usual.
Yeah.
Usually Matt, it's a struggle.
Let's talk about this, Matt. You got a brain surgery. What exactly happened here? Because we haven't really spoken since. I'm not one of these pussies that's going to be like, oh, how are you, Matt?
Yeah.
Like, how's it going? Like, no, dude, I'll see you and eventually I'll fucking ask you what's up. I'm not going to be one of these phonies. Do I ask you how you're doing on a fucking any other day?
No.
Probably not, right?
Yeah. So why am you I don't care do about
it?
Me at all.
Why am I going to do it now?
Why am I going to start? It a brain surgery.
A brain surgery.
So you got a brain surgery.
Well, I'm sure. Hold on. Don't fucking make fun of me for that, because I'm sure there's multiple brain surgeries, dickface.
He didn't ask me how I was doing because he was afraid the grammar would be wrong in the message.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, there's multiple.
How's your hurdy head?
There's multiple brain surgeries, and I'm assuming you got, you know, one of them that wasn't that bad, because you were.
It ended up not being that bad.
Yeah, you were on Instagram, in and out, you know, I was bing, posted, bing, boom.
So I felt fine the whole time, but apparently they didn't tell me until after. I could have died at, like, any moment.
How did this all start? How did you know there was an issue with your head?
I was just anxiety, over-emotional, and I never usually am, just getting stressed about everything. And
Shannon, you might need brain surgery.
Yeah. Thing is, there was stuff to, like, actually be stressed.
So at first you thought you were on your period.
Yeah.
Like, it's just my time of the month. Yeah. But then you realized.
Yeah. I was thinking that I was dealing with stress, and there were actual things to be upset about, so I just thought I was justified. Yeah, that's a picture
of. Was that a piece
of
brownie?
That was a picture
that?
Of.
They give you that in the hospital. That
that's what
delicious.
Was in my brain.
A brownie.
4 centimeters, size of a golf ball.
Size of his ex-penis.
Yes.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, so I was just.
Chris Crespo's unborn twin. Yeah.
So I thought I was justified because actual stuff was going on. But then after a couple months, even when stuff's going on, I'm usually pretty collected and don't get upset. And so after a couple months of me getting angry every time something happened and sending long venting text messages, I started doing therapy and concussion rehab because I had old concussions from, like, years ago.
From the pro wrestling stuff.
Yeah, and just sports growing up.
So you were going through some shit. You were getting emotional about shit for no reason. And you were like, what the fuck's going on with me? There's something weird. That's interesting. I didn't even know that would be a sign of anything.
Well, I thought it was old concussion. I looked up stuff about concussions, and they said within 5 to 10 years after you get concussions, you can have more long-term effects. And there were some symptoms I had, like sensitivity to light and other issues. So there was...
And the way you talk.
Yes, the way I talk. So I started doing the rehab, and everything was getting better gradually. And they sent me to get an MRI just to see if there's any bleeding from old concussions. And they just found this thing that nothing
see,
to do with
is
concussions.
My problem with going to doctors. It's like you didn't have any issue with your brain until they found that issue with your brain.
Now all these other issues were caused by this.
I don't know, dude.
Because over the last, they said once they went in, most of the blood vessels were dead at this point, which is good because it wouldn't bleed during the surgery, which would have caused permanent brain damage.
Okay.
But they said, like, at least 100 times
so
this thing
bled. You go into this MRI, and what do they say? Well, how soon do you get your results
like
from
immediately
this?
As soon as I get out, because it was huge. It came up immediately on the MRI. I went into, like, a waiting
room. Were you aware at all, like, you're watching it, did the doctors come in and go, holy fuck, like, what is that?
No,
were you
I
a
was,
little bit nervous, or you were just kind of like,
I had
whatever?
Just got, I had done, I was in rehab earlier in the day, and I was given, like, almost a clean bill of health. No symptoms. They said, come back in like a month to check up, and I was doing like every week, so I thought I'm in the clear. Let me get this MRI just to make sure, and then I'm good. And I got it. They told me to go sit in this waiting room, and there was another guy in there. They said, no, the next room. I had to, like, leave this. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with that guy?
That's the happy waiting room.
Yeah.
You have to go to the crying room.
And then they come in, they're just like, we think you should go to the ER right now. There's this big thing. We don't know what it is.
Yeah, this room with all the pillows on the floor.
Yeah. So I went right to the ER, and they
to the emergency room.
Yeah, the emergency room, and it was...
I feel like that's where they would send you. Aren't you at a fucking hospital right now?
Well, it was a whole medical facility, so I went across the street to the ER.
Oh, okay, all right.
And it was crowded, so I thought I was going to have to wait there forever. And within 5 minutes, they called me in, and at first I was like, nice, I don't have to wait.
But then you realize that that's a
that's
problem.
That's not a good thing.
That they're like, okay, this guy is in more trouble than this fucking guy who... you know, needs a tetanus shot or whatever.
Yeah, I found out since, like, what I had is usually found in autopsies, because it usually people don't really know it's there, and it just kills people.
It just kills you one day, you just drop dead.
Yeah, it was apparently, it was pressing against the back of my brain where spinal fluids come down, so at any, I could have gone to sleep one night and slipped into a coma, got a seizure, stroke. They said, I'm 28, they said I wouldn't live past 30.
Yeah, but you know what, that would have been a better story for Capital Wrestling.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, just sort of like, you go crazy, you murder some of your friends and family, and then they have their own version of
Chris Benoit.
Yeah,
yeah.
They have their own Benoit story.
Chris Benoit has to put Bibles next to people as he beat them.
And he somehow hung himself on a weight machine.
So you find out about this. They're like,
yeah,
this is the fucking problem. Now, how soon from when you were in the emergency room were they like, we got to cut your head open and take this out of your head?
So they put me in a room in the ER, and I'm there for a couple hours, and they came and told me that they would be doing surgery. Probably Monday, ended up being Tuesday, but that was Friday night. And so then all week, I go straight to intensive care unit, but I felt completely fine.
So you feel completely fine. You're in intensive care, though. People are dying around you. You don't leave the hospital. You're there.
Nope, I'm there the whole time.
So you don't get to go home, because I would have been like, all right, I'm not getting surgery until Monday. I'm going home. There's no doubt about it.
No, because I wasn't allowed to stand up on my own because it was in my cerebellum, which is the balance center of the brain. So I was at too much of a risk to fall over if I stood up.
Yeah, but you've been standing up this whole fucking time.
I know. And I was also at too much of a risk of it. It was already pressing against the back of my brain. If it pressed any more, it could have cut off spinal fluids any moment. I had a blood pressure thing on my arm that would go off every hour because they needed to make sure I wasn't having, like, function start
but
to fail.
But you were normal yesterday. Yeah. All of this shit is sort of like, do you get what I'm saying?
That's the way I felt about it. No.
But now you have all these neurologists around you going, no, you can't stand. You have something in your head.
Pretty much.
And then, so now you're all fucking worried because... Yeah. What could they have done? Could they have legally held you there?
I'm
going to go.
I didn't ask to leave at any point.
I remember one time I had a recurring sty, and eventually it became a Schlesian cyst.
Yeah.
And that had to be removed from my eye. I'd actually have my eye cut open for it. And they were like, you need to have somebody come and pick you up from the hospital because you're going to be on, you know, whatever medications to knock you out for the thing. Yeah. There's a certain amount
and
of
whatever
hours.
You showed up within your system.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. There it is. It was a nightmare, dude.
Really? That's your eye?
This was a fucking nightmare. They had to cut me open.
Super sty.
And I remember them saying, like, you can't go home without anybody. And I was like, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
are they
going
to fucking tackle me to the ground? Are they going to call the cops and arrest me because I'm just not staying in the hospital anymore? Yeah. They can't actually do anything.
Yeah, I didn't really put up a fight. My whole life I've been playing sports and wrestling, getting concussions, and then acting like I didn't have them to like be able to still wrestle. So at this point, I'm like, I'm just going to listen to whatever they say. I'm not going to argue with doctors. I did that my whole life.
So no, but right now they don't actually know what the thing is.
No, they do now. So they weren't going to know until they went in. They told me the three options were what it ended up being an arterial venous malformation, which just means when I was a kid and my brain formed, a couple blood vessels kind of tangled, and then it just became like a big rubber band ball.
And it just kept on growing
Now where it's so huge that it was bleeding like almost every day probably.
Wow.
That's what it ended up being. There was also the possibility of it being a benign tumor or a cancerous tumor. If it was a benign tumor, they would just take it out, but there's a chance it could grow back.
Right.
And if it was a tumor, I'd just have to go straight into radiation and chemo. So this was best case scenario just because once it's out, I'm in the clear.
Yeah, that's it. So we know this isn't a growth that's going to come back. So,
exactly.
But at that point, they knew that. They did a test and
they didn't know what it was. And there were two main surgeons. One of them thought it was a cancerous tumor because she just does brain surgery in general, and that's usually what she sees. And another surgeon came in. He's a pediatric surgeon. This is usually, if it's found,
like,
it's found.
This man has a child-sized brain. Yes. Bring in the pediatric surgeon.
If it's found, it's usually found.
This is not a normal man-sized brain.
You've got a baby brain.
It ended up working out because he's used to dealing with kid brains. So mine was like in supersized. Like it was easier for him.
Oh, this is an adult brain, but it's bigger than a kid's brain. I'll tell you that much.
It's like playing on a higher difficulty level, and then all of a sudden going to easy.
And then
he got him was surprised to find it was the same size as a kid's brain.
There we go. So it
took long. It was supposed to be a 4 to 5 hour surgery. It took like over 7 hours because they told me after it was stuck in there. It was really difficult to get out. And it was also right near my brainstem. And if they hit my brainstem at any point, I would have been out.
That's that. And that's as simple as a mistake that they can make.
Yeah.
Somebody can just simply make that mistake.
Yeah.
At what point? So hold on. At what it was before you went to the surgery, though, that you knew it wasn't a tumor?
No,
though.
It wasn't until they went in and saw.
Oh, so you didn't find out until they actually went in.
No.
So you're fucking terrified. You're thinking you could die. How sure of it that you were going to die? Because I would convince myself that
really?
I'm
I was
dead.
The opposite. I was just, well, they also didn't tell me beforehand. They told me the possibilities. They didn't tell me when the surgeon thought it would be cancerous tumor. They told my parents that. They didn't tell me. And they didn't tell me I was at risk of dying.
Oh, they didn't tell you any? But you're a man.
They didn't tell me I was at risk of dying. They told me I was at risk of falling over only. I didn't find out a lot of
this. You're falling over and never getting back up.
No, they just said
they only let him talk to the pediatrician.
Yes.
Matt, you have what we call fall down, go boom syndrome.
No, they didn't talk. They came in with a stuffed animal and told me. And,
you have nighty night forever.
Yes. So yeah, I didn't find it was possible they would have cut me open and then had to just close me back up if it was a cancerous tumor. They may have taken some of it out so it wouldn't be pressing against anything, but they wouldn't have just taken the whole thing out. It would just be radiation. So it's possible.
But you didn't know
it's
any
like
of
Valentine's
this.
Chocolates. You don't know what it is until you get in there.
You bite it, did, you eat it.
They did tell me most likely it's what it ended up being. So I just kind of thought I'm not going to spend my last couple of days thinking I'm gonna die. I'd rather just have and friends were visiting like almost like on the like every other hour, I was having people there hanging out with me. Yeah. So I was just staying positive the whole time.
Was it Chris Crespo in different uniforms and outfits? Yes. Pretending to be different people. Like we know it's Crespo. Yeah. Look at the arm. Yeah.
I mean, you can't dress up as someone else when you don't have hands.
Yeah.
No, actually, you can't. You can't go. You need help changing outfits.
is that a giant shrimp that came to visit Matt Maron in the hospital?
But yeah, the only time I was like, it was bothered right after surgery is when I was finally like in pain of any way.
Really?
Because I mean, I couldn't turn my head because the back of my head it was still a fresh wound.
Yeah.
And so, I couldn't.
Can I see the scar?
You want to see it now?
Let me see it.
Yeah,
now.
It's not that bad now. But...
Oh, freaky doggy. Oh yeah, that's a scar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still it's healing up pretty well. They said because I'm young for someone who's had brain surgery, but old for someone who had this specific thing in there. So because I'm young, I should be able to heal pretty quickly.
Now, like after all of it, like even though you didn't come close to dying, it did feel that way in a weird way. I'm sure. Like,
I mean, in
know.
Hindsight, I realize how close I was.
Yeah. But now that you've come this close to death, have you thought about getting sleeves or working out your biceps? Just one or the other. I mean, just got to do one.
Yeah, I've thought. I mean, once I can work out again, I will.
Also, bicep exercises are the fucking easiest. You can literally do a 10-minute routine 3 days a week. Your arms look decent.
Yeah, I'll figure something out. That's my New Year's resolution. Yeah.
Aren't you doing a 10-minute routine 3 days a week? Is also how Lewis got ready for his hour special. Yeah.
Aren't you doing like special yoga for your brain now?
So when I was doing the concussion rehab, I wasn't allowed to weightlift, so I started doing yoga classes as a way of like staying in decent shape during it.
Yeah.
I haven't done any exercise really since the surgery. Yeah. But before in concussion rehab, I was doing physical therapy. They were having me do like plyometrics and stuff, and then doing reaction time tests to see if I was having symptoms after heavy workouts.
So now how are you feeling? Are you still having some, like, any sort of crazy episodes?
No,
or
that went away.
Emotional shit?
That went away through, I went away through concussion rehab. All the tests I was doing, it was probably helping with this without realizing we were helping with this. Because a lot of the treatments I was doing were for blood flow, and so I was probably overcompensating for this without realizing.
Yeah, dude. Well, good for you, man. I mean, look, now that I know how, you know, you really weren't, wasn't that serious?
I mean,
I don't feel that bad.
It was.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't.
He was going to die.
It was basically my Shalazi and eye surgery. It's the same shit, but, you know, you're fine.
I'm fine now. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone saw me. They would walk through ICU, my friends, and see everyone's like brain dead, can't talk, and I'd be there hanging out, but could die at any moment.
Yeah. Everyone just wishes you couldn't talk.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, even like some friends I saw a couple days ago were like, when I would tell them about it, they were like, oh, I didn't realize it was that serious. Your Facebook posts were all joking around. I'm like, yeah, because I didn't want to think it was that serious either.
Yeah, I see. That's the whole thing where they say like you need to have like, you hear about like a little kid who's like on life support.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, my son, I'm not taking my son off life support. He's a fighter. Like, he, you know, he believes he's going to survive. That means we have to believe he's going to survive. I'm not that little kid. I'm like, immediately I'm going to die.
Really?
That's it. Like, yeah, if it depended on my faith and my ability to heal and survive, I'm gonna die.
I'm the opposite, but like to my fault. That's why I like I had a broken foot and wrestled the next day. Yeah. That's just no matter my mindset is always like no matter what I'm gonna fight through it.
Yeah,
and that's like not been a good thing for me. I wouldn't have had as much. Although if I didn't have the concussions, I wouldn't have gone through this, and I wouldn't have found this.
That's so. True. Have you? Well, that's all good. Are you gonna wrestle again? Is that what's the
they
deal
said?
With that?
Never wrestle again. I hadn't wrestled in like 6-7 years. I'm still gonna work with Capital Wrestling, just in a non wrestling role.
Yeah. Yeah, so no more wrestling, no more.
Nope. Probably no more MMA training. I wasn't doing it often, but when I did, yeah,
nobody really believed you were doing any MMA training, to be honest with you. Yeah. Even your closest friends would mock you behind your back when you would mention this MMA training thing. Nobody ever roasted you about it. Like, you know how you do the roast, like, yeah. Comedy Fight Club, that wasn't something that people would bring up regularly. Like, oh, Matt's an MMA fighter. Nobody believed it.
Well, there's so many other things to make fun of me before that.
Yeah, that is true.
But yeah, I did say I could probably make millions from the NFL now just by talking on behalf of concussions and how they saved my life.
You can. I'm excited to have you back. I'm excited that you're alive. I do get very uncomfortable when people get sick. Like I remember I did not go to my grandma Rose's funeral or visit her in the hospital much. It was just, they're depressing places. So I disconnected from you because I was like, if he dies, I don't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I'm glad that you're able to be back in my
Thank
life
you.
Again. This is really, really nice.
Yeah, I'll try not to get sick again or else I'll lose you as a friend again.
It's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Like, you don't let it hold you back.
I never had him.
You know, I'm just, I can open myself up to having conversations with you again. Are you guys coming to the all male comedian luncheon?
When is that? I haven't
heard
about
that. It's January 7th. I'll tell you, it's a secret location. Only male comedians are allowed. We've done this. This is the fourth year in a row or third year in a row?
Fourth, I think.
Yeah, it's all you can eat steak.
Nice. I should be able to make
it. We ain't fucking around. We ain't fucking around. No women allowed. Spread the word. I'm dead ass. We pull up my picture from last year, Shannon. We had like 50 comics last year. I'm dead fucking ass. Women, they do shit like this all the time. They do like, oh, it's everyone's getting free pay. It's free headshot day if you're a female comedian. If you can prove that you've been raped. And by the way, the only proof we need is you to say it, okay? Free headshots for all rape victims today. Not on my watch.
Yeah.
Not on my watch. We're having an all-male comedian luncheon.
Nice.
We need proof that you've been raped, so please bring in your calendar with a frowny face over one of the days.
Only allowed at the all-male luncheon if you can prove that you've raped someone.
Yeah. So you pull up the picture from last year, Shannon. It's right at the turn of the year, so you can probably find it's pretty easy. So you guys got to spread the word. Harrington, spread the word to all-male comedians, okay? I know you know a lot of people. It's going to be January 7th, and I'll give you all the information. Tweet it out to them. Or not tweet it out, but send them a private message. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. There's a few different Brazilian steakhouses in the city. It's at one of those at a specific time, we'll tell you. Have you ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse?
I have, a while ago. We used to go after wrestling shows if we actually made some money. It's so usually no.
Have you?
No, I haven't.
Doggy.
Dude, it sounds so manly.
Doggy. Here we go. Third annual all-male comedian lunch. Look at this. And it's all whites.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It's all white guys. You know, and that's not my fault. I invite as many black people as I know. So, but it's a good time. We go every year. Here's the way it works.
Black comedians seem to go, man, a Brazilian? I can't afford that.
What you do is they give you a card, and on one side of the card it's green. One side of the card is red. Okay. Yeah. And they have like 16 different cuts of steak. And they have these Brazilians that are just walking around with these like cuts of steak on these things, you know, these long skillets. And when you put your card on green, that means go. And they just come around and they start slicing meat onto your plate. And they just keep on coming until you put it on red. And you're like, no, I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
I'm going to go again. I'm going to take a break. It's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's the manliest thing ever. Yeah. So we're going to do it. It'll be January 7th. I would love if you guys can make it.
Definitely. Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun. Let's get some plugs out of the way. We have some other things we have to talk about on today's show. Shannon, get the plug music going. Castrochano, what do you got to plug, my friend? Any podcasts, live shows, anything coming up?
No, man. I just been doing Comedy Fight Club with Matt Maron. I have no brain surgeries coming up. So
it's all good.
You do Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah, you do Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, and I make Instagram stories, so check it out.
Hell yeah. That's such a weirdo. I love it. Matt Maron.
Yeah, Comedy Fight Club. We're taking a break right now. We'll be coming back once my return from brain surgery. We'll be coming back to Fight Club at Comedy Fight NYC on Twitter and Instagram, and every Tuesday night on Gas Digital.
Hell yeah.
And I had to cancel all my bookings because of the surgery, so the only thing I have booked now, on February 2nd, I'll be with Zach at Capital Wrestling.
Nice.
At 301 Garden Street. And we're doing a Comedy Fight Club during intermission at the Capital Wrestling show.
Nobody believed you had any bookings.
Yeah. I had to cancel all of my many bookings.
It's a nice, convenient excuse.
Yeah.
Zach Amico.
Twitter and Instagram at Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on Gas Digital. Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show every Friday at midnight. Comedians talking shit while we watch a horror movie.
Fuck yeah. Guys, go to iTunes right now. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. One reviewer every month. We'll give a free piece of merch. So I'm going to do that right at the end of these plugs. We're going to give away a free piece of merch. Good or bad review. Make sure you check out my other podcasts, Legion of Skanks and Believe You Me with UFC's Michael Bisping. Some live shows. February 2nd, I'll be up in Poughkeepsie. Laugh It Up Poughkeepsie. Going down to Uncle Vinny's in Jersey in March. So look out for some more dates. The new website's being built, LewisNGomez.com. LewisNGomez.com will be coming soon to a computer near you. Winner of this month's free piece of merch. Shannon, have their fucking review ready.
And I can't promise that because iTunes has switched the way that it organizes them. There is no order. I'm going to try my best.
Nomad2585. Nomad, oh, fine. It's fine. If you find it later on, you can do it. Okay. Nomad2585 wins a free piece of merch. Go to merchpump.com and grab a piece of merch. Anything you want. Any of the Real Ass Podcast t-shirts, mugs, hats, anything is yours.
I found it.
Oh, what is it?
Okay. He said the subject line is meh. And the information he puts is not as retarded as you'd think.
Thanks.
So Nomad, make sure to tweet me so I can get your information to send the shirt.
Or Nomad, tweet at Shannon. Get that fucking shirt. You know what the fuck is going on. This is I guess, goes into effect right now, right? Gender neutral birth certificates law goes into effect right now. New York City residents have a new option for denoting gender on their birth certificate. Gender X. A law allowing the choice of X took effect Tuesday. The measure passed earlier this year. It allows people to change their birth certificates to X by attesting that it reflects their true gender identity. Parents can also choose X for newborns. Interesting.
Isn't the parents not, like, let if you're going to let the kid pick their gender, isn't it wrong for the parents to decide it for them?
I remember my mom, when I was a kid, whenever there would be like a thing on a school form or there would be a thing like on like a summer camp form and they would ask for my race.
Yeah.
My mother would write not applicable. She would. She was like, why would it matter? What does your race matter? It was the thing that she would always, but in a weird way, she was just writing X. You know what I'm saying? So I have a, look, I don't really have a problem. I just kind of feel like it's a little bit silly.
Yeah, I mean, general, I don't really care. Like, if someone I used to wrestle. I know people who, I called them by their wrestling names. I don't have a problem calling someone by whatever gender they want. It seems like a weird thing to have a problem with.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people, who has a problem with something like this? It's people that are always sort of on the same side of politics. You can't really have a problem with it. I just think, if you're a parent today who has a kid, and you go, my baby is not a boy or a girl, it's an X, I think you're a little bit of a fucking wackadoodle. What do you want me to say? If you're a person who says, I don't identify with being a man or a woman, I think you're a little bit of a wackadoodle. But I can wrap my mind around it. I can go, okay, well, you have your own way of looking at yourself. You know,
and this is where your life has taken you.
As opposed
to a child who hasn't had time to have those experiences and decide.
Yeah, so your parents are just deciding that you're not a boy or a girl. It's just a little bit... It's a little bit silly, and then
it's just denying like basic human things. Like, so my chick's a preschool teacher. If you put boys and girls in a room, the boys are most likely going to migrate over to the boy toys, trucks,
shit like that, and girls are gonna go over to Baby Dolls and like Playing House.
Yeah, Zach's gonna migrate toward the boy toys as well. Yes. Fucking freak.
When I was like 3 years old, my mom thought I was being like too rough around the house, and that I was being too like, she wanted to bring out my feminine side, and so she bought me like a doll, and my dad was just laughing about it, and they gave me the doll, and 3 year old Matt ripped the doll's clothes off and smashed her against the wall. And my dad goes, "Oh, bring out his feminine side. Good idea."
Yeah, Matt might have a tumor growing in the back of his head. He was really violent toward
Matt
that doll.
Matt just bashed the doll into the back of his brain for 5 hours.
Yeah, it's a commentary on the type of person that would choose that. And you see it. You see when parents show up at like protests with their little kids, and they put their kid in like a...
Give their kid a sign that they have no idea what it means.
Yeah, you're like, let kids be kids, you know? But I mean, I guess sort of if like you believe, you know, if you believe in gender equality as sort of a middle finger to the system, if somebody wrote X, I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with that.
If you did it just to be a dig, I can respect that.
Yeah. In a weird way, I completely understand that. Yeah. Just to sort of troll them a little bit, like, yeah, I'm an X. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did say though, if they let me keep this mask that was in my brain, I was going to raise it to be gender neutral. I don't want to force toxic masculinity on it.
All right, gents, let me take a moment and just tell you guys about the People's Choice Beef Jerky, which is my favorite fucking snack right now. It is LA's original small batch beef jerky, a family business from California that's been making quality beef jerky for over 85 years. Unlike mass-produced beef jerky, People's Choice Beef Jerky is marinated, sliced, and cooked by hand. That's right. People's Choice Beef Jerky is handmade in small batches, and you could really taste the difference. What's the one I just ate, Shannon? The habanero one? I literally just finished it before the show in 3 minutes because it was fucking delicious. It was a spicy habanero one. I also had the garlic one. I've had the teriyaki one. That's one right there. Yeah, Harrington. Which one is that?
Sweet chili habanero.
Sweet chili habanero is maybe the best beef jerky I've ever had in my entire life. I love solid fucking beef jerky, okay?
When you are a beef jerky
everyone knows
connoisseur.
This, okay, let me tell you something. And what you want in beef jerky is you want soft, chewable meat. You don't want that hard fucking, you bite into it, it feels like it's been around for 5 years. Who the fuck, that's not beef jerky anymore. That's beef jerky from our grandfather's days, okay? People's Choice Beef Jerky is an amazing product. I fucking love them. They sent me an entire box. I'm just feasting on this stuff all the time now. It's the new year. Start it out right. If you're trying to lose weight, this is a great, great, great snack. Typically, they're low sugar, high protein. So this is a great way to lose weight while building muscle. People'sChoiceBeefJerky.com is a website. That is PeopleschoiceBeefJerky.com. People'sChoiceBeefJerky.com. And if you use the promo code RAP15, 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 you save 15% off your order. 15% off. Go buy it online. You're going to save money that way anyway, but we're going to give you an additional 15% off at People'sChoiceBeefJerky.com. Use the promo code RAP15. All right, let's get back into it. This also happened. The U.S. military tweeted a bomb joke on New Year's Eve.
Really?
This is pretty awesome.
That seems irresponsible.
U.S. Strategic Command.
They retweeted you?
They retweeted his hour special.
They tweeted, Times Square tradition rings in the new year by dropping the big ball. If ever needed, we are hashtag ready to do something much, much bigger. Watch to the end. And then they tweeted a little video. Here, pull up the actual video.
Oh, it's so American.
Of a
they deleted it, so we can't play the video. It was a deleted tweet.
We had to delete it because it was too American.
Yeah, this is a stealth bomber, and the video like is just a video of this dropping a bomb and then like an explosion.
They were just saying, instead of a New Year's ball, we could drop a bomb at any time.
Yeah.
Okay, but if it had been exact same tweet, exact same video, but then it just cut to somebody taking a shit, it would be the funniest tweet of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there it is just a person that's in charge of that Twitter account, right?
Yeah.
And then they go, dude, this is going to fucking kill. Watch this.
Well, you got to figure out the military. The person who gets hired by the military to do social media is probably the least responsible in the military. Yeah. Or else they'd probably have more like serious responsibilities if you're in the military.
But I'm sure they have to go through like a chain of commands before they tweet this. Like, dude, I'm about to tweet this. It's really American.
I don't think so. I think that it's there's a person in charge. The same way here at Gas Digital, we've just allocated the Twitter to fucking whoever wants to do it that day. That's what's going on at the military. Like, somebody want to handle the Twitter this week? We don't actually have an intern right now, but if somebody could just take on that responsibility, and some idiot that doesn't know how to use Twitter.
And also, part of me is like, if they can't handle their social media, we trust them to handle the Middle East.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they deleted this tweet then?
They deleted it.
Wow.
Yeah, they deleted it. And then they apologized. They said it was insensitive and blah, 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 blah.
But we just want you to know that 2019, if you need us to start a war, we will.
Yeah, it's a fucking scary time, dude. It's a scary time when we're even utilizing social media as the way that our government communicates. Yeah. Everybody, like even like other politicians, you see them like it'll be like a senator from like the Midwest, and they'll be like, our president's a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
and that's a senator. You're like, what is, like, this is nuts. This
and the
like
president bad. Comes back with, like, you're bad at your job.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, did you see the thing about the comedian who used to work on The Apprentice?
No.
A guy came out, he's been doing a bit, his new, I can't remember his name, but he's been closing on that he used to be, like, talent relations on Celebrity Apprentice, mm-hmm. and he took care of the Trumps. And he said, he goes, I read these Trump tweets and I know exactly what it is. He goes, Donald Trump is a speed freak.
Really?
Yeah, he's upset. He snorts Adderall. And he goes, this was my job. It was at 3 a.m. Trump was on the toilet tweeting because he was all fucked up on Adderall and can't shit.
Really?
Yeah, the guy's like openly talking about it. It's all going to get taken down, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
But he's been openly talking about Trump being an Adderall addict.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
And they say that's why he's always sniffing.
You guys want to snort some Adderall?
Yeah.
That's why he's always sniffing.
Really?
And that's why he's always tweeting at like 4 o'clock in the fucking morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I just stopped taking Adderall. It was just getting me a little too crazy.
How often were you taking it?
Every day.
Were you having poop problems or?
No, does that give you poop problems?
No, I think all speed.
No, I think it's painkillers.
I thought painkillers.
Painkillers give you constipation.
Well, speed kind of rushes it out a little bit. It might give you like fire ass later on from the rushing. But
Yeah. I think that's painkillers that gives you constipation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had to stop taking it. I'm seeing a new therapist, and she's like, oh yeah, you have major anger problems. She was like, stop pumping speed into your body every day. That's gonna help. So now it's like it's a balance of, you know, dealing with my ADD and like I'm calmer and happier and kind of like, but now I'm also like, always feel like there's like a fucking, the stove's on in my kitchen at home.
Yeah. Then honestly, that was one thought I actually had when I was like having these like mood swings and stuff, and I was sending long texts and I would tell myself it wasn't that bad. I actually had the thought, I'm like, well, Lewis has anger problems. I don't have anger problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do. Like, I do.
I was using you to compare myself to make me feel like I was okay.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't use me. I have my own fucking weird anger issues, and it's been a lot better. I mean, the past couple months have been.
It turns out you should have been using Eric Bergstrom.
Yeah.
So you feel less angry now that you're taking less Adderall?
Or I'm not taking anything. I'm just doing more talk therapy. Cool. And I mean, it's fine.
I'm opening your podcast by punching people.
Doesn't working out help too? Like with the rage and shit?
It does. I'm also at a different place now. I think when I started taking medication, I was starting Gas Digital, and it was a crazy time. Yeah. I had no money at all. And I was just starting this business, my comedy career. I mean, there was things going on, but it wasn't like it is now. I think I've sort of crossed a threshold now to where, whereas there's more things going on, they're sort of easier to manage. Because when you're setting up your career, like the foundational stuff, you're not making any money. It's a shit ton of work. There's really no end in sight. You're doing so many different things, and you're trying to just get a lot of irons in the fire because you know something's got to fucking hit. So it's like, I think I really needed the medication probably more when I started, because I was really fucked up when I started taking medication. Yeah. I started going to therapy originally, and a lot of my anger came from the fact that the frustration that I felt from not being able to get anything done.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So,
were you taking anything else or just Adderall?
I've taken a couple different prescriptions. Then I went back to Adderall for a while, but we'll see. It's good now. I feel a lot better. I'm definitely much less irritable, less tense, less angry. Do I seem less tense, Shannon?
I was just trying to think about the last time I saw you have like a big freak out, but I do feel like you are a lot more calm.
Harrington just threw his hands up. What are you talking about?
You started the show by attacking everyone.
That's not attacking. That's me moshing. That's a release, actually. It's a positive thing. It's kind of like my own version of yoga.
He was joyful when he did that.
Thank you, Shannon.
Yeah, that was the thing with me even. I started having these things around the time the show got picked up by Gas Digital and was going to the stand. And I was dealing with a lot of personal stuff also. Yeah. And I just, but now it's like, you know, the personal stuff is like, it hasn't like, you know, not necessarily that it hasn't ended. It's kind of like I'm far away from it. I stopped talking to the people who there were those issues with. And it still hurts. I think about it, but I don't get worked up about it like I was before the rehab and the surgery.
Yeah,
and you just kind of think of it more matter of factly, which is how I always dealt with like issues in the past is I would think matter-of-factly about it and then kind of be okay with it and not get worked up.
Yeah, it's I'm glad to hear you're doing better, dude.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear you are also. I know we're fucking around here and talking shit, but I'm glad to see that all worked out for you. And I'm looking forward to seeing Comedy Fight Club get back to its weekly schedule. We're waiting for the fucking stand to open too.
Yeah, I think our plan right now, we gotta figure out when the stand is opening. We wanted to do like one final night at Lucky Jack's and maybe like coincide like my return from brain surgery, the final night at Lucky Jack's, and then move to the stand.
That's awesome.
But I don't want to do that final night and then still have to wait 2 months.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So let's make that all work. Yeah. What happened with Tiffany Haddish? I keep on seeing people tweeting about her.
She bombed during like a New Year's Eve performance in Chicago, and as she was bombing, she just started like drinking, like, oh fuck it, I don't know, I didn't see it,
but... Can I see the video of it? Let's see some of this.
Her fans were like, she's really great, but she's just not ready for big times.
That's her fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading
some... That's a weird thing when like people are like they're not a fan of you, they're a fan of celebrity.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They're not, it's like those people that are like, you know, she was good, but you know, whatever. It's like they're not really a fan of Tiffany Haddish. They're a fan of some movie she was in, or they're a fan of some TV show she was on, and they know she's supposed to be the next big comedian. But that's not a real fan. Yeah. A fan of yours would go, well, yeah, what are you talking about? The fucking crowd sucks. She's awesome. You know,
you don't hear about bombing too often. It'd always be funny to see someone. It'd be funny to see someone do a special and then they like bomb during it and then they still air it. Like,
well, that's the famous story with what's his name?
Dice the Day Laughter Dog.
No. Yeah. That's not what I'm thinking of. He fucking died of a heroin overdose.
Oh, Mitch Hedberg?
Mitch Hedberg, yeah, his Comedy Central special.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like lying on the stage, like in the middle of it, like lies down. He's bombing. The story is that he's bombing and that they edited and laugh tracks from other.
Awesome. You can watch the full version of it. I saw on YouTube a while ago.
Of him actual bombing?
So it's like 37 minutes is the full thing, and it's cut to like 20. And you see, it's not even. It's like it's bombing, but it's still so many people. There's some chuckles here and there. So it's not nothing, but it's the first like 10, 15 minutes, people. They're not really getting him, and they slowly start to get him.
Because then, like, when he got his half-hour special, he wasn't famous. It was like those people that came out for half-hours back then were pumped in by Comedy Central. It was random people that came in. They were seated, and he's kind of a weird...
Yeah.
You know, he's not fucking, like, a crowd-pleasing, like... Oh my God, fucking make people roll down the aisles comic. He's like, you got to be into what he does.
I remembered hearing that when he first like headlined, his first like one of his first headlining tours, they switched him in the feature because the feature was killing and he was bombing in the headline. I think Stanhope talked about it because Stanhope apparently was furious and like threatened the club owner or something.
That would be so fucking embarrassing.
To be switched with the feature.
To be switched, like you just can't have, oof. That would be fucking brutal.
Yeah.
So pull up this Tiffany Haddish video. I want to see this.
Let's watch you bomb, girl.
All right.
There she is bombing silently.
Yeah, wow, she's really bombing. Nobody's making noise.
They had to get rid of the audio because she's
bombing so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
It's not a
Didn't we start this off by saying there's been issues with the volume on the podcast?
Yeah.
And here we are with volume issues. It's just not cool, guys.
Lewis's anger's gotten a lot better. He hasn't started yelling at Shannon yet.
Go ahead.
You
black, you pay me for a kiss. But I don't want to kiss you. You're just not my type. First off, you're rude.
This guy's taking a picture. This guy's taking a video and a selfie while she's on stage.
So are you.
Do your bits, girl.
You got mini girls tonight, bitch. You know what? Like, I really, like, you
she
know
seems
what?
Out of it.
Hey, girl, hey. She. Fuck you. This is weird for me, man. It's gonna be on TMZ or whatever.
Oh, man.
Hey, your dog, dick's on the loser. She was so. I don't give a fuck. Why don't I just move on, get closer?
You don't give a fuck. You have a banner with your name on it.
Wow. It really is uncomfortable to have her fucking a wall-sized banner with Tiffany had.
I don't give a fuck.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right, so I get it.
Dude, you know, people are right. There's too many unfunny white men just taking up stage time.
First of all, here's what I'll say. I've seen Tiffany Haddish perform. I did a comedy festival with her. She's a killer. She's very funny. I'm not going to take away. I shouldn't say this. I don't really know her stand up that well. I saw her kill there, and she's a very. Her thing is very. I get why she's a star. I remember thinking at the time when I met her a few years ago, I was like, this girl is going to be a fucking star. Yeah. She's got a thing about her.
She did the Seth Rogen Hilarity for Charity thing on Netflix, I think.
Oh, did she?
And she had a follow, like, the fucking, like, talking about the disease they were doing it for.
Oh,
and she murdered.
She murdered. Good.
She was so good.
I don't wish this upon any comic. It's not a commentary on her. Everyone can bomb. Everyone here in this room has bombed multiple times.
Yeah.
It just kind of shows you when you don't do it the way that somebody like Louis or Bill Burr did it, which is to go the long route and to just get fucking fans.
Yeah.
Fans of what you fucking do, period. When you kind of get thrown into that fame, people they're not a fan of her. All those people, like, nobody, if I was bombing at one of my shows, granted, there'd be 100 people there, not fucking 10,000 or whatever. Yeah. But none of my fans would take out a cell phone and start taking a cell phone video of themselves laughing at me bombing. Yeah. That's not a fan of what you... That's somebody who is just...
I watched three ladies do that to us at a strip club in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not fans of ours.
But they were fans of ours.
Wait, what?
When we did the strip club in Detroit, a lady who was a fan of ours brought family, and they literally walked up to the stage during each of our sets and took selfies with us in the background of all of us doing poorly.
I don't remember. I don't remember that, first of all. But second of all, they weren't doing it because we were doing poorly. They were doing it because they were fans of ours and they wanted pictures of us. So it's just a different. They weren't going like,
look at these guys
bombing right now. It's like, I don't think the perception in Detroit was that we bombed. We felt bad because it was a shit show and it's us doing jokes on a stage at a strip club and it's a weird environment. But I think the audience and the club and everybody loved what they saw and it was a cool experience for everybody. So it is different.
I can see a fan with your name on it. It wasn't a big banner.
There was definitely no banner.
I can see like a fan of yours or a fan of someone taking a video to like fuck with them, think we're buddies and I'm fucking with him for having a bad set. Not like actual malicious.
They were not real Tiffany Haddish fans. I knew that.
she's hot though. Fucking hot chick, dude.
Smoking. She seemed a little bit out of it too. I don't know. She seemed like she was slurring her words a bit. Maybe she got drunk or something.
Maybe. But I mean, she literally, at that point, she wasn't even attempting.
No. Yeah.
You would, if you forgot, because I guess somebody said she forgot her jokes.
Yeah.
But if you forgot your jokes, you would just improv. You would do some crowd work. You would play a fucking game. You would do whatever the fuck you got to do.
Yeah. I feel like if you're that famous with that many people, there's a story I've done maybe a couple times on stage. I could just go to that. If you have that many fans, like, you're probably not going to bomb if you're doing something.
But it's not bomb too bad. And it's also black people.
Yeah.
You know, let's get into the issues here. Yeah. Let's really talk about it.
No, if you lose a black audience, you lose them.
Show started late.
It's a New Year's show. It started at 2:30. For the countdown started at 2:30 in the morning.
I'm telling you right now, they're...
Black shows are the only New Year's that have to count backwards to when midnight started.
You don't want to lose a black audience.
That's true.
You don't want to be bombing up there. They're going to fucking love it. So that's the other thing, is she's sort of been thrown into like this...
Kevin Hart world.
Yeah, where it's like, she's doing movies with Kevin Hart, and it's like, he's the fucking big... And the standard is like, motherfucker, make me laugh.
black people, Hispanic people to a certain extent, but black people, for if you ever go to like do like a real black club, it's a different attitude. You know, it's almost like,
well, black people go out to go out. Yeah, and it's also, but you don't walk on stage in a black club with a notebook.
Yeah, that's true.
If you,
what's that?
Because they don't like you showing off that you.
Oh shit! He doing voodoo.
They don't like you showing off. You know how to read.
Listen, they. If you go to a black restaurant in New York City, okay, and things and the service isn't perfect, you're gonna fucking get an earful because typically, even if they aren't poor, most black and Hispanic people come from. They don't come from affluent families. They're going to come from lower class to lower middle class families. So the value of a dollar to them, it means more. Like, it just means more. It's like I'm giving you my. I feel this way. I grew up really poor, so I really relate to this concept. When I'm spending my money at a venue, I'm spending my money anywhere. That dollar, the connection that I have with it, is much more. It means more to me than people that grew up with money. It just isn't a big deal to them, right? So I feel very offended when I'm given bad service, and I almost go like, do you know how fucking hard I worked to get that money? Do you have any idea like what it took for me to get? Nobody gave that to me. Nobody's given me anything in my entire life. And I start to get myself worked up. And that is the black experience, in my opinion. I think this is why they're a tougher audience to fucking kill in front of. If you go to Harlem and there's something wrong on a fucking bill, they will talk fucking down to you. My girl, when she first moved here, was waiting tables. And that was like, she worked in Harlem, and she was like, dog, you get a fucking black person's order wrong, they're going to fucking, you're going to hear it. And that's that. And it's a different thing. Like, well, a white person will go to Yelp and like write a review. A black person's going to try to fight you with his cousins.
Yeah.
For not getting his order right.
Yeah, there was a room in Harlem.
Here's your pool aid, sir.
Yeah.
fucking pool aid. But I think there's something about that. And I think that's why they weren't going to give her. Black people, you don't bomb politely in front of black people.
Yeah.
That's going
to
be that.
Yeah, there's a room in Harlem I used to do, and it would be like an hour of music and dancing and then right into the comedy. And the host would talk with the audience to the point where it wasn't just crowd work. It was like inviting the audience to be a part of the show. And then this comics had to go up, and it was like, if you don't get a laugh in the first 10 seconds, you're done for the rest of your set. Yeah,
that's fucking it. So that's what happened. Let's watch a little bit more of the video, see if anything else happens.
Peace, everybody. Welcome back to All Viral Access Media. Please.
Sorry.
You're testing.
Is that
Lewis?
Godfrey's podcast?
Yeah.
What was that? Is that In Godfrey We Trust?
I'll find a different one.
Testing Lewis's anger issues early today.
No, it's okay.
Come on. Make me a Tiffany Haddish fan. Let's go. Show me the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it is what it is. Good for her. Good for her. I mean, she's still fine. She's still going to do okay. I was like, if you're a movie star, why even do stand-up at that point anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's a lot of fucking money. When you're that big, those tickets are probably $100 a pop.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Seinfeld still makes a ton of money from stand-up.
Yeah, they just came up with that list of the top 10.
He's like number one, right?
Yeah, pull up that list. Was he number one?
He's near the top.
He was up there.
I guess you have to really love doing stand-up if you're a movie star, and, you know.
Yeah. There's no other reason, you know. Pull up the list of the top 10 comedians. I guess, comedians, is it Rode?
Top 10 grossing, I think it was.
Here, go to the top. Okay, so this is the world's highest paid comedians of 2018. Sebastian Maniscalco at number 10.
Yeah, that's
15 million. Jeff Dunham, 16.5 million at number 9. Jim Gaffigan at number 8 with 17.5 million, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think
crazy
this
that
is,
Gaffigan is the eighth highest earning road comic in the world.
Yeah, I think this is money made just from stand up.
This is just stand up, obviously, because otherwise they like Rogan makes more than that for sure.
Yeah,
you know, Terry Fator, who is that?
He's a ventriloquist from America's Got Talent.
Okay, 18 million. Gabriel Iglesias, 20.5 million. Ricky Gervais, 25 million. Wow. Chris Rock, 30 million. Number 3 is Dave Chappelle, 35 million. Number 2 is Kevin Hart at 57 million. And then Jerry Seinfeld at 57.5 million at number 1. Yeah. That's crazy. I didn't even see that Jerry Seinfeld still tours.
Yeah, he does. Because I know that was a bit like after Seinfeld, he like went right back into doing stand up, and he's been doing it ever since.
I mean, that's the reason to do it, to be honest with you. It's like, Kevin Hart, they can't take that away. Even if Kevin Hart, like, even if he never got a movie again, even if the Oscar, you know, that Oscars thing destroyed that career, black people around the country will still come and fucking see Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
You know, he, February 8th, he's touring all over the place, you're right. So you can never take away the fans. That's what you fucking want.
Yeah.
Is you want real fans. And that's where Tiffany Haddish is, you know, she needs to just develop her fucking fans of what she does. This is why podcasting is such a fucking beautiful thing.
Yeah, you do.
Because anybody who's a fan of me is a real fan. Nobody's seen, I'm not on TV. I'm not guesting on some fucking big show. Nobody's seeing me anywhere else except for specific things that I create.
Yeah.
So anybody who likes me, in my opinion, holds more value than the average Tiffany Haddish fan.
So you'd rather have like a million people who love you than 10 million people who know you. Mm. And some like you, some don't like you. Like, you know, better to have enough loyal people to make a career.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, people were upset because there was no women on that list. So
it's almost like they let the market decide.
Oh, let's see. Wasn't
put up
just
the video
stand-ups.
Tiffany Haddish next to it as an explanation why.
It wasn't just stand-up. Seinfeld made nearly $25 million from Netflix and Hulu. So that's everything? I feel like Rogan makes more than that. That's just some disclosure. Off the podcast? Impossible. Impossible. Seinfeld creator earned $57.5 million before taxes, fees, claiming the top spot of our list.
I guess she's not, but I thought I remembered hearing Ellen DeGeneres was on the list. She doesn't do a ton of stand-up.
She just had
a special coming out.
I mean, there's no way that Ellen DeGeneres didn't make more money than Jim Gaffigan last year. Get the fuck out of here. This list is horseshit. How much money did Ellen DeGeneres make last year? There's no fucking way. If you're counting television shows and you're counting everything, fuck
off. I don't think it counts a television show that's not stand-up.
I'm offended by this list.
Comedians in Cars Get Coffee is not a stand-up show.
Was that included?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, look, then yeah, Ellen.
How Ellen made
there.
History and made $87 million a year. How is anybody complaining?
That's more than Seinfeld.
That's more than Seinfeld. Who's the one that complained? Fucking redheaded bitch.
All of them? I don't know.
How's anybody?
Fucking all
Kathy
of them.
Griffin.
Kathy Griffin, that's right, because
she be on there?
It was a great response that Tony Hinchcliffe had. She goes, she said, something along the lines of like, yeah, I noticed there's no women on the list. And Tony's just like, yeah, we know. Or something like that. I was just like, obviously.
Yeah.
But first of all, Kathy Griffin, how are you complaining about anything?
Yeah.
How is anybody complaining? If you are speaking into microphones, this is a very privileged job that we have.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are not waiting tables and you are living your life and you're fucking getting to talk into microphones for a living, anywhere along that spectrum, you know what I'm saying? If you are doing this for a living, I think you're very privileged, even if you're making not that much money, even if you're making a fucking...
You're making a living.
You know, minimum wage, whatever. If you're paying your bills off of speaking into microphones, I don't ever feel bad for you because it's fucking incredible, okay? If you're living your dream, are you out of your fucking mind? Yeah, she goes, no women. And then Tony retweeted it, no shit, which was hilarious, which was just awesome. But that's bullshit because that list didn't... How does it include Ellen?
I want answers.
I don't think her stand-up special came out this year, so I don't think that would count. I don't know if she toured at all this year.
Yeah,
maybe that's right, what. Well, 2019 is going to be a different list.
It'd be a big fucking
some
list.
Women on it.
Big. Did anybody watch the Ellen special?
No, I haven't.
I refused.
You hate Ellen. Fucking can't stand her.
Harrington, could you bring up that list of reasons to bring me the coffee that's in the freezer?
And while you're out there, will you bring me a regular coffee, please? For the love of God.
And bring me a Tiffany Haddish fan.
Find me an actual Tiffany Haddish fan.
Next Real Ass Podcast, we found two guests of the two Tiffany Haddish fans.
Can I get another coffee, Harrington? Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Harrington.
All right. So let's talk about this for a minute. Ireland is criminalizing emotional abuse.
Emotional abuse is a big deal that we don't talk about. I mean,
with new domestic violence law, let's see. Psychological and emotional abuse in intimate relationships is now a crime in Ireland. The Domestic Violence Act of 2018 went into effect on Tuesday and provides new protections for victims of
coercive control, a type of emotional and psychological abuse aimed at stripping a person of their self-worth and agency. Doggy.
Dating?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, what do you want me to say here?
I've got a couple.
Are you supposed to fuck with your ex?
Yeah.
If you're not emotionally abusing them and stripping them of their self-worth.
I've got a couple of friends who would be in jail right now.
Yeah, me. what are you talking about? Who doesn't emotionally abuse their partners once it goes south? Unless you're in the newest time of your relationship, right? You're a brand new relationship. You're in the honeymoon phase, as they say. Yeah. What happens, though, is every day as you move away from that honeymoon phase, as you go down the relationship, you just start to get a little bit more annoyed.
Yeah.
You become a little bit more vocal about those annoyances. Like, my girl sneezed 7 times in a row the other day.
Yeah.
I wanted to cave her urine.
Yeah.
I wanted to in my head, I was like, if she sneezes one more fucking time, I'm going to have to physically assault her because she's fucking with me with this sneezing. Now, I know that's not right, and I know that's not the way it is, but this is just the way relationships work.
Yeah.
You go down that fucking path.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Little things that wouldn't annoy you before just...
Yeah. Well, what I'll have is everything will be cool in the beginning. Even with friends I've had this happen, like, you're totally cool, and then months down the road, something happens, and you look back, and it's like, oh, wow, they were being really shitty the whole time, and I just didn't notice it because I was like focusing on the cool stuff they did.
Of course. Yeah. And so this is a thing now where I guess where's the line, though? How do you decide?
Exactly.
Because
doesn't
the law, it shouldn't be open for like loose interpretation. Like, this person was emotionally abusing me. Let's see. Although psychological and emotional abuse, including controlling behavior, isolation, and threats of violence can be more difficult to recognize than physical violence, it can be just as damaging, as experts say. Ireland's Minister of Justice and Equality, Charlie Flanagan, said in a statement on Wednesday that the new law recognizes that the effect of nonviolent control in an intimate relationship can be as harmful to victims as physical abuse because it's an abuse of the unique trust associated with an intimate relationship. Blah, blah, blah. The supervision sends a message to society. Can we get a little bit of fucking... What are the lines here?
Yeah. I mean, there was a girl once who was, like, being shitty to me, and I kept telling her to stop being shitty to me, and she told me I was trying to control her and called me emotionally abusive. Yeah. So, like...
They're legalizing physical abuse, though, right?
Legalized.
Well, it's an art.
It's a compromise. So,
yeah.
That must be the most exhausting job in the world, the guy that has to document... domestic abuse in Ireland.
Emotional abuse sucks, but like, that's one of those things as adults, you just have to cut people out if you're being devalued or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough decision, but like, if your spouse sucks and they're making you feel like shit, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it should be illegal to make someone feel like shit.
Yeah.
Can you guys look up a little bit more information on what they mean by this? Because there has to be a clear, like, when are you breaking the law? What is the act in which you're breaking the law?
Well, at the beginning, it says specifically, I mean, it's not just kind of like calling your partner an asshole or something like that. It's a threats of physical violence, controlling behavior, and isolation, which are
threats of physical violence is a crime anyway. If you threaten somebody with physical violence, that has nothing to do with this act.
Yeah, but now maybe it'll go under the domestic
law. So it's almost like the same way they made like a hate crime another category of law where it's like if you punch somebody in the face, it's a crime already. But
yeah,
if you punch
a black
person
more than if you threaten your roommate that you're going to stab them. If you threaten your partner. Yeah.
It's a different law that you're breaking. That's interesting.
Also, what constitutes as controlling? Like, if I have a female friend and my girlfriend tells me they don't want me hanging out with them, can I now get them arrested because they tried to control me?
Well, this is the thing if you're with a girl and you say, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself.
Yes.
That's considered like, apparently that's a big fucking no-no.
Yeah.
Whatevs. That's like, but I mean,
fine. Then
how else are you supposed to get their attention?
How are you supposed to express love? Yeah. I want her to know how serious I am about how much I love her, and about how serious I am about this relationship. Shannon, have you ever threatened to kill yourself over an ex to him?
No, I've had one do it to me and then put a gun to his head.
Oh, come on! If I had a gun, I would have probably put it to my head to show her that I'm serious. Duh.
I don't believe anyone loved Shannon that much.
Not anymore.
Wait, now I gotta know now. Shannon, you gotta give us some details on this.
It was a real rough thing. This is that same guy that I've told you guys about before, the crazy pants, the one that,
crazy pants,
crazy pants. So it was a jealousy fight. It was like, because he was a bouncer, I was a bartender, and it was like 5 in the morning. Like, we both had a lot of drinks.
Tim, and then he was.
he got mad that, like, I said hi to an ex-boyfriend at the club. And when we got home, he started off pulling a box cutter on me outside the house.
Saying he's going to cut you with it.
Yeah, at first, because he was so mad. And then there were, like, people around, but he is such a big, scary-looking guy. He's
that
like,
nobody's going to protect
you. Yeah, he's
you.
Like, if you're going to yell, he's like, then they're just going to get it, too.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm just going to have to ride this out. So then we go into the apartment, as we lived together at the time. And then
was he crazy enough? Because yeah. if I see you getting attacked by this man, I'm mm-hmm. stepping and I'm taking care of my
people
Shannon.
Have tried before, but it hasn't.
And then it doesn't work out well
no,
for them.
No.
They get beat up.
Yeah.
You've watched guys getting beat up for trying to protect you.
Yeah.
And you just, it made you hot. You stayed with him.
No,
you
not,
fucking
no,
bitch.
No, not that. Not, I mean, that doesn't make me hot. No, people have also called the cops and stuff in those situations. But so anyway, so we go into the apartment and then.
Guido and his whore.
He wasn't Guido.
Punching holes in doors.
So we. So we go up into the apartment and then he like did like a switch over because I guess like his like a rage like reached its max and then he flipped over to the other side realizing how bad he fucked up and he's like, I'm so sorry, you know what, I've done so many terrible things to you, and then took out this gun and then said he was gonna like just end it and was like waving it around, put it against his head. It was a whole thing.
But, did he have it all like gun a bullet in the chamber?
Yeah. But then, like, I talked him down from it, and then he went to sleep, and then I went to sleep at my parents' house, and that was it. Yeah.
And you never saw him again.
That's not true. That's not
oh, you
true.
Dated him again?
I mean, it was a very rough time. I was very young. I learned a lot from that relationship. I was, like, in my early 20s. I was very stupid.
That, by the way, guys, that's the 70s. Yeah. Guys are doing the math on it. It's a different time. During then, man, you know.
Yeah. So that's the alleged emotional abuse I'm hearing about?
Not here, in front of everyone at the malt shop.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Big steroid goon beats up dumb whore on Staten Island sidewalk.
But like, if you really want to kill yourself, what are you supposed to not say that you, like,
you're not killing yourself to end your pain. You're killing yourself in part to cause others around you pain.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's why when I hear people tell someone who's like their friend committed suicide, they're like, it's not your fault. I'm like, well, what's the point of doing it then if my friends aren't going to feel guilty?
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's your fault. You should have been there for him. Everyone, I just know that. Yeah. How are more comedians not killing themselves?
I don't know. I've had a bunch of pro wrestling friends of mine kill themselves, and only not as many comedians. Yeah.
I think about it all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. But
are you actual suicidal?
No. Well, I think it's more OCD where I think about it, but I've never actually tried to hurt myself. But I think about it when I'm really depressed. I always think about going to the Triborough Bridge and just jumping.
Yeah.
But then I always walk there, and I'm like, that's not high enough. I can't do it.
Yeah, because then you're like, dude, I'm going to fucking hit that water, and then I'm going to fucking not be able to walk.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
So I found, like, there is a spot where I could jump, but it's still, I don't know if it's tall enough. I still might just, you know, just really hurt myself.
That is the way you would do it, huh? You would jump off a building?
I think so. It's so dramatic. And
Yeah. Would you live stream it?
I thought about making a quick Instagram story right before. Like, why not? You know.
You would want to.
That's funny. I thought about it more out of like curiosity, but never
How
actually.
How are there not more live stream suicides? That's another thing. You think that almost anybody today that's killing themselves would at the very least probably do it on social media so they can get the views. I know it happens.
Because of that pesky send to button.
What's up?
After you make the story, you have to write send to and save it.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah. You had that extra step.
Yeah. It really, it's a preventative measure.
I've had thoughts of like, the worst I've gotten is I'll be like going to sleep and like being okay with not waking up or like going out, thinking about going out drinking and just fighting something, which is like, you know, but I'll call someone if I'm ever thinking that before. One time I called a friend of mine and they told me that I was threatening self-harm and that I was being manipulative. And I was like, no, I just need to talk to someone right now.
Threatening self-harm and being manipulative. Yeah.
But I didn't threaten anything. Yeah. And it was just like, can I just talk to someone to help me right now?
If you go to like the George Washington Bridge, I'm sure this is most bridges, there's signs that will deter you from killing yourself.
The problem with George Washington is I don't think there's a walk path. I think it's just driving.
No, there's a walk path.
Oh, there is?
Oh, for sure there is.
I got to go check it out.
There's a walking path on the George Washington Bridge.
And you got options.
Yeah, well, Trevor is closer.
But
do you
want to
see a live stream suicide?
Sure. There's we'll do Does It Live.
Does It Live.
Go ahead. Let's go.
I can handle it.
Does It Live, live stream suicide edition.
Does it live or does it die?
This guy's probably going to hang himself.
This guy's hanging himself?
Probably.
Yeah, it's censored from this article.
That's impressive.
Live stream suicide on Facebook.
See, hanging takes too much like work.
Yeah, so I'm just hanging... waiting for all the frowny faces to float by.
Yeah, I feel like I'd want to just do it. I'd want to do it quick. I wouldn't want to like suffer through it.
Yeah, I feel like hanging would be fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost feel like, how do you... I feel like I could also stop myself from hanging by grabbing the rope and pulling myself up.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
That you... Not if you tied it right. They would be so tight from you falling that you couldn't pry it up.
Oh, yeah.
So you would, the pressure would be off, but it would still be around your neck.
There was like an old carny wrestler from like the 1800s whose neck was so thick he could hang himself and survive through it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it was carny, so it was probably like faked in some way.
Yeah, it was
way.
Some bullshit. Yeah, yeah. It was also an old carny wrestler who could swallow swords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I wrestled on a carnival, I actually hooked up with a girl who was a sword swallower.
She swallowed your sword.
Boom. So yeah, it's a bit much. He's got a hole to it. What is he tied to?
I'd rather. I want to see his face. It's annoying. It's just like
it is
watching
pretty annoying.
Unfollow.
We could probably
imagine we get to the day where you just see live stream suicides and you're just like, I like this one. I dislike this one. Heart emoji for this one.
I mean, is he already struggling now?
Yeah, I think he's hung up on the thing.
I think he's getting it ready.
Yeah, I mean, his legs are on the ground.
He's about to drop up, and then they made that square a little longer just so we don't see his torso dying.
But I have a question, like, how does... Like, you see that people will hang themselves and then, like, from their knees, like, off a door ledge. How do you do that? That's I don't understand.
Dedication.
That's impressive. You should be like an acrobat. Don't kill yourself.
But, I mean, isn't it like... Doesn't, like, your instinct to survive kick in? Like, the same way you... I don't think you could just drown yourself. Like, you couldn't just... You could tie a brick to your... You know, a giant rock to your leg and fucking drop it into a lake.
Yeah, that's how
yourself.
One of my friends committed suicide. Dropped... He tied himself to something in the Bayside Marina and just sunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's... I understand that, but you couldn't just go under because eventually your will to survive is going to just kick in and you're going to surface, aren't
right.
you?
Right. I feel like the easiest way to do it is, like, the car in the garage... Turn
oh,
on the
yeah.
gas, because then you just sort of pass out.
Let's see. Kate Spade died by hanging herself with a scarf attached to a doorknob. How does that work? It's called partial hanging. I knew a friend of mine at a mental hospital who tried that. Basically, let's go up a little bit. Less than full body weight is needed to constrict the carotid and jugular arteries, so this method can be used to kill oneself. Just lean away from the door and just keep on pushing until you pass out. And then at that point, it's so tight that it's going to keep on strangling you.
That's crazy that you could, like, someone would actually...
Was it Robin Williams seated as well?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a,
David Carradine wasn't.
I just don't understand how it works. Like, I just feel like you would...
You would stop at a certain
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems... I can't imagine... Even if I wanted to die, I can't imagine actually doing it that way.
Yeah, not that way. Not that way. I guess jumping off something would probably be the easiest way. Slicing my wrist just bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking, just the idea of like slicing through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't do
watching
that.
Watching, not being able to like, the minute you slice your wrist, you're looking at yourself bleed out and like,
yeah.
Shit, I shouldn't have fucking done that. At least when you're jumping, you're like,
yeah.
You gotta make that jump. You gotta make that call one time. Anytime I've ever gone on a fucking roller coaster, I'd make that call. I'm like, all right, I'm doing it. Done.
Yeah.
And then the thrill is gone and it's out of your hands at that point. Yeah. But I any can, other yeah. way, I mean, what
the
are
gas,
some...
The car... A,
what, Harrington, what?
Yeah. Load up a full bundle in a spike, heroin, done. And you go out high as hell. It's
load
great.
Up a full... Yeah, but is heroin overdosing fun? You I feel like there's feel a lot it. Of puking and like, you
and
know...
Suffocating. It's probably almost like hanging yourself. Like,
yeah.
But then, except you can't stop it.
Everybody I've talked to who's OD'd talks about, like, they don't remember any of that part.
Just remember the fun heroin part.
Yeah. So it's just they are in a daze and they wake up in the hospital like, what happened?
Yeah.
So if you don't make
money.
It, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. My love of excess points me towards pills and booze if I had a pick.
I guess I would try and find a drug way, like a morphine overdose, even some type
yeah,
of
I'd yeah. just sleeping pills and Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, but I would feel like that wouldn't kill me either. I feel like that would fuck me up. And then they get to the hospital, they would stomach pump me, and it would just be a miserable experience.
The biggest fear has got to be actually surviving whatever you try to do to kill yourself.
That's why you don't want to do anything that'll leave you fucked up. Like, that's why I would be afraid to hang myself,
Because you just paralyze yourself.
Gunshot wound.
Yeah, and then you got fucking sloppy gop face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a movie, a documentary like 10 years ago that, about a full year of people who jump off the Golden Gate Bridge because it's the most famous bridge that everyone jumps off of. And it's just a full year. One of the guys jumps in the water and just breaks his legs and he's in the dock and lives to tell about it. But it's depressing. You see all these people jumping and yeah.
And they survive.
No, most of them die.
Most of them die.
Yeah, most of them die.
More depressing than suicide is trying to kill yourself and accidentally surviving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all
that was actually just the extended opening to Full House, by the way.
Every step you take.
There's a lake.
Every leg you break.
Fuck.
How rude. All right.
We're gonna wrap this one up in just a little while. First, I want to say, if you guys love the show, you should know that we have over 100. No, how many episodes? 300 and some? 375? 350?
Believe we're at 342.
Nearly 350 episodes available of the Real Ass Podcast on demand whenever you guys want them. The latest 15 are on iTunes and YouTube. You could watch the live streams every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 a.m. on GasDigitalNetwork.com. But if you guys want everything on demand in high def, ad-free, uncensored, pre-release before it goes anywhere else, go to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP. Get yourself a 14-day free trial. Save $1.50 a month. $7 a month to get access to this show, plus the other 20 amazing shows on the network. 20 shows here on the Gas Digital Network, including Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me, Comedy Fight Club, Zach and Miko's Midnight Spook Show, and many, many, many more. This is the last story we're going to talk about today. This is kind of a sick story. Walmart Santa Claus arrested after bodies of two of his kids found behind his house. Wow. Yeah.
They did not get what they wanted for Christmas.
Yeah, this guy had two teenage kids. He's in, like, I guess Georgia. And it is really just clickbait because it could have just been man kills his kids, but
they had to make it Santa.
He worked at a Walmart at one point.
Yeah.
Not even now. He like at one point worked at a Walmart. That's all it was. And it's a clickbaitier story during the holiday season.
Yeah. I just watched Happy. Have you seen that on Netflix?
No.
It's like all about this like deranged dude dressed as Santa Claus kidnapping kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Shannon, what were you going to say?
No, like the like crazy fucked up part of that is that like the entire family was in on it. The fact that those two kids were buried in the backyard, it's everyone knew about it.
And everyone got arrested, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He got arrested. His stepwife got arrested. Her mom got arrested. Her dad got arrested. He fucking abused these kids, killed his kids, both his teenage daughter and son, and then buried them in the backyard.
Oh, they were his kids?
They were his kids.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's and the whole family's in on it?
Yeah, that's crazy. But it makes you think like those kids probably were pieces of shit.
I mean, yeah, the whole family doesn't get behind the killing. Yeah, nobody's gonna.
Her kids are like, they didn't kill her kid.
Yeah, so her kid might not be that bad.
Yeah,
they're on the naughty list.
Yeah,
just don't kill my kids.
The whole family doesn't get behind killing the kids unless they're real pieces of shit.
Yeah, that was that story kind of fucked me up a little bit.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Well, that's a news story that everyone wants to hear, you know.
Yeah, and then another nice little death story in the news, which was it was going to be the original Does It Live, but what are you going to do? Was in Las Vegas, a woman was trying to scam like a nail salon out of a free pedicure or a manicure or something like that, right? Did you hear about this story?
No, I didn't.
So this woman gets a manicure and then tries to like ditch on the bill.
Oh, scam that slope.
Yeah, scam
that.
And the
scam that gook
doggy, the nail technician jumps in front of the car to try to get this woman to stop leaving. The woman runs her over and drags her body 50 yards and kills her over a fucking manicure.
Jesus.
So
I did like that we were just talking about suicide for like 10 minutes. You're like, here's a sick story, and it actually got darker.
Yeah, it's darker. But it's like, that's
just go pay for the manicure. Like, you're caught. That's like,
or how about this? Don't jump on somebody's hood over a $12 manicure.
That too. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone there. But you,
that like, is victim blaming, Zach.
Think about that woman though, who's just trying to scam the salon out, and now she's going to fucking go to jail for murder. She's still on the run. Apparently the woman who did this.
Oh shit.
White woman too, by the way.
Where
in Las Vegas. White woman in her 20s.
and her nails are getting longer as she's driving across the country.
Police are on the lookout for a car with a Korean woman attached to the hood.
Yeah, dude. That's another thing where you go like, I know that woman wasn't trying to kill that woman, and it just, it got, whatever happened there, it just got in, and then it's like, holy shit.
And this hit, and it's like, well, can't go back now.
This is it. You killed a woman, and that's that. That, I mean, I think about how irresponsible I was when I was a teenager driving, when I was 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, we would just do stupid shit just to be funny. We would like fucking do donuts in a parking lot somewhere. And I mean, a kid could have easily just ran out in front of the car at one point. I remember one time
that's when Lewis and his friends used to sit in the car and eat donuts.
Well, I remember one time me and my buddy were just racing down like a residential street. Like literally just our cars next to each other, because he had like a newer version of my car, and we were just going to just compare. And we both just floored it like down like a cul-de-sac street. Like it was fucking crazy. And a little kid could have just ran out in front of the car, and that's that. Yeah. And it's so fucking scary. To think about, like, I don't think you should give kids cars. It's a 10,000-pound death trap where you could just smash it into anybody. People get into car accidents every day.
Yeah.
And people just do stupid shit. You think you're invincible when you were a kid.
Yeah. I mean, well, you think you're invincible until you're, like, in your early 20s even. Which, yeah. I mean, as a kid, but it's like, you know, are you going to... Can someone not get a car when they're 22, 23? I was an idiot when I was 22.
Yeah. I guess you got to make those mistakes.
My friend Ahmed, when we were in high school, was drag racing and hit a boat.
A boat.
And it was like 4 a.m, and they were drag racing, and a guy was getting his
boat.
That's
where Zach and his friends would dress up like women and race their cars.
On foot.
Yeah, okay. Drag.
And yeah, but a guy was getting his boat out, like bringing his boat down his driveway to go fishing, and he totaled a boat.
Jesus.
And I remember we were all like maybe like in like 10th, 11th grade, and he owed this guy like $90,000.
No. Because
he destroyed a plexiglass. He totaled a boat. Yeah, I just remember looking at our friend like, oh yeah, your life is over, huh?
That's it.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
He had to pay the guy. I think he
killed
still
himself, jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. He's still paying the guy back, I think.
Wow.
He totaled like $100,000 boat.
Yeah. You think about, there was that one story of the guy who was stealing like speakers from like a Walmart.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded like the Opium Anthony subreddit. The guy was on, if I'm not mistaken, unless that was somebody pretending to be him, the guy was actually on the Opium Anthony subreddit. He was a guy who regularly posted there.
And
the guy with the flat nose.
Yeah, yeah. Something K-U-H-N. Look this story up.
I would pronounce it Killacoon.
Killacoon. No, that was his name, I believe. Yeah. But his actual name was Chris Coon, K-U-H-N. This is one of the fucking saddest stories I've ever heard in my entire life. Look at this fucking animal. Jesus. Look at this.
Yeah. He was stealing speakers from Walmart?
Yeah, I guess he was stealing, let's see, causing a crash that killed his 2-year-old son Tuesday in Pennsylvania. Christopher Coon of Hamilton, New Jersey was charged with 3rd-degree murder, homicide by vehicle, retail theft, and related charges. So what happened was he was going into a Walmart or whatever it was, and he got a pair of fucking speakers. And security goes to chase him out. He just runs from security. He's got his kid in a fucking car seat with him. He's stealing fucking speakers, right? Goes to get into his car, doesn't secure his kid in the car seat, just puts the fucking thing in this 2-year-old kid in the back of the car without actually being secured in the car seat. Cops go for a chase, get into an accident, flips his car. Kid flies through the fucking window, kills his kid immediately. Then gets up, this fucking piece of shit dude, gets up, checks on his kid. Like, gets up to go see if his kid sees the kids on the street and fucking takes off on foot anyway.
Can I tell you what I thought it was going to be?
What?
I thought it was going to be that he put the speakers in the car and forgot the car seat on the roof.
Wait a minute. I'm forgetting something.
Wow, the speakers are nice.
Or he hits in the car and he has the speakers in the car seat and the kid is back on the shelf in the store.
He installed his kid into his car. Like, something's not right here. That fucking story is so sad.
Wait, so he brought the kid in the seat into the store with him?
Yeah, to steal. Look, here's the truth. He was a fucking piece of shit guy, like, you know, but he wasn't trying to kill his kid.
Yeah.
You know,
he's not a monster.
He just made a series of really horrible fucking decisions.
Yeah.
That ended up, and dude, I mean, that's the torture that you got to feel.
Yeah.
For something like that. I mean, that is fucking nuts. Or maybe not. Maybe he is a piece. I don't know. But when you're like, look, stealing with your fucking kid, it's a shitty thing, right? But, you know, I mean, I know he didn't get up that morning going like, I'm going to fucking
kill my kid
today. That it's such a fucking heavy, crazy thing.
Or maybe he did. Maybe the kid woke him up really early.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to fucking kill my kid.
Maybe he stole the speakers. Yeah. Kid flew out the window. Speakers. He said, thank God. That killed two birds with one stone.
I need some speakers to drown this little faggot out in the morning. I'm going to kill this little faggot. I don't get some speakers. Nice Walmart speakers.
Jesus Christ, dude. And that's a I mean, people do that, by the way. They leave their kids on top of cars regularly.
Yeah.
Like, it's and people think they're like only bad parents that do that. It's like straight up like a mom will be having like an off morning.
Yeah.
And something they say that that's what happens a lot when they leave their kids like in a locked car by accident or forget their like kid on top of a fucking on top of their car. There'll be something that changes in their routine. They're so used to doing everything very regimented. As a parent, you start to get used to waking up at a certain time, feeding them, changing. And then something will be off. Like there'll be a detour on the road that day, that morning.
Yeah.
And it sets off their whole morning, and then they just fucking forget their baby on top of their car and fucking...
Nothing like leaving on top of the car, but have you ever had something like that where you messed something up with your kid? Like, not leaving them on top of the car, but one thing's off and you notice other things being off that day then after?
The other day he was watching Fancy Nancy.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? This whole day is off. It's not good.
I just found out my son's gay.
Great, I gotta check X now.
No, nothing like that. I mean, yeah, no. But I mean, look, you know.
There's gotta be like something ends up being off and then someone maybe forgets to give their kid lunch that day or something. But then, like, to imagine it getting to an extreme where you leave them on top of a car.
No, nothing like it. Nothing really crazy. I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty. It's the one thing that I kind of keep myself on point with is my kid. Especially now that he's six, he just turned six the other day. He's so aware of everything. Like the other day he goes, Dad, you play video games too much. And I was like, first of all, you little motherfucker, you play video games too much. Okay. I only play video games when you're playing video games. Yeah. I make it a thing. But now even so, like that's the truth. Like I'll play him when he plays video games, but in his mind, I'm playing video games too much. No matter what way I want to slice it, he's gonna have this memory of his dad sitting there with his fucking face on a TV. So I felt really bad about that. So I just curbed it. I was like, all right, I'm not playing. But even if my kid's playing video games, and I'm not even, he's watching a movie in his bedroom, I'm not gonna play video games because I don't want his memory being his fucking, you know, 37-year-old father sitting on a fucking.
That's interesting. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Like, now, is that his opinion?
No, that's my opinion. I'm telling
you. No. I mean, the dad.
Oh, right. Oh, it's probably his mom fucking.
And I'm not trying to throw your ex under the bus.
No. I'm telling you right now. It's almost guaranteed it's her opinion. But it doesn't matter whether he's getting it from his own perception of it, partially being fed that version of it by her. I still don't want his version of reality being his dad just plays video games. I don't want his earliest memories of being with his dad in front of a TV all day.
Yeah.
I have plenty of time to play Fortnite.
Yeah. But yeah, just to be aware of like what your kid's perception might be and even like change behavior just to change their perception.
Well, that's
even,
it.
Yeah, dude. That's interesting.
That's it. I mean, well, that's the only thing I can fucking do. I remember my mom and the way I looked at my mom and a lot of the things that I saw her doing. And I was like, yeah, that's fucking whatever. It was her being lazy, not working, her being violent, her being abusive. Her, you know, I just remember being very conscious as a little kid being like, you're not supposed to act that way. And I can remember being 6 years old and looking at the world and the way that I saw the fucking world. And I remember how conscious of everything I was at that time. Yeah. So now it's like, I'm really trying to be good for my kid's sake.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's wrap this one. I don't want to fucking ramble for too long. You guys are great. Andrew Castellano, please go follow him on all social media. Also, our good friend, Matt Maron, real Matt Maron on Twitter at Zach is not funny at I am Shannon Lee at Zach is not funny. It's all right, Shannon. You'll get the outro later. It's okay. We will be back on Friday with our New Year's Eve Assy Award show that we did from the Creaking Cave. Amazing, amazing award show. Lots of special celebrity guest drop-ins. Shane Gillis working the red carpet before the event. Unbelievable event. I hope you guys enjoy the Real Ass Podcast on Friday. Without further ado, we are going to end the show now.
Thank you guys for having me.
C'est la vie. Adios. Good riddance. Fuck you.
That's all, folks.